from Hollywood, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live. Here's Jimmy Kimmel!
Thank you for braving the elements to be with us. Wow, on a rare day of rain here in Southern California. This morning, everyone in L.A. went in the closet and found their one and only waterproof jacket. And oh, my boots are here. It's so funny when it rains here. My favorite thing is seeing how my coworkers dress. Usually everyone's in, like, jeans and maybe a button-down shirt, but the second there's a drizzle, everyone shows up dressed like the Gorton's fisherman. It's incredible. You know, we had an earthquake yesterday at 7 a.m., measured a magnitude of 3.6. If you're not familiar with what that means, neither am I. No one has any idea. Nobody. I didn't even feel it. Did you feel that earthquake?
I didn't feel it either, Jimmy.
You didn't feel it? Were you in bed when it happened?
I guess, yeah. I wake up like around 8 something, so.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so I didn't feel it at all.
They should start measuring earthquakes by how many people post about them on social media. Like, oh, did you feel that 2 million tweeter last night? It was with the rain. Even though the earth itself shook under our backs, the rain today was a much bigger story. And whenever it rains, even a little here in L.A., our local weather and news people go hog wild.
I can tell you it's ominous. Dark clouds are here, and we're starting to see a very light drizzle. You probably can't see it over the camera right now and the lights.
We're just now starting to get a light rain here in Santa Clarita.
Rain hasn't reached you yet.
It did earlier. The ground is still a little wet.
I don't know if you can see it, Frank and Lynette, but there are some sprinkles. There are some sprinkles, as anticipated.
We have a camera to show you Hollywood, but then we keep losing it, and maybe that's rain-related. It is raining here in Hollywood, and not just from the camera. I walked outside and saw it.
If you haven't taken a shower yet today, don't bother. Just come to Westlake Village. We are absolutely soaked.
It's just enough to ruin one's hair.
Here's a live view, street vision. The wipers are on. It's a little bit misty.
In case you didn't know, it is wet outside, and it has been wet outside for many, many hours now. It is really an annoyance at this point.
Look at that. They got the jet boat, just in case. don't worry. The governor activated the National Guard. We're going to be okay. It's a dreary weekend for the Dodgers, who will not get a chance to defend their title. The Atlanta Braves are headed to the World Series instead, where they will face the Houston Astros on the football field. Tom Brady scored another major career milestone yesterday during Tampa Bay's win over the Chicago Bears. Brady is now the inaugural member of what they call the 600 Touchdown Club. Can you call it a club when there's only one person in it? Like, would I be the inaugural member of the Took My Clarinet to Homecoming Club? So the receiver who caught the record-setting pass, Mike Evans, for him, it was only his, like, 66th touchdown. So he generously and unwittingly gave the ball, the historic ball, to a fan who was wearing a Mike Evans jersey.
What's this, Evans? No, you cannot do that, Mike.
That's the only 600 touchdown. Actually, what happened here?
Watch this. Realizing, oh, my gosh, I gave it away? The football?
Oh, no.
Now you're about to see one of the great negotiations in NFL history.
Okay, so then there's some back and forth where the fan and this guy, and eventually the fan returns the ball, which an expert later estimated was worth at least $500,000. Possibly more, maybe up to $1 million. So then a local reporter caught up with the fan, is a guy named Byron Kennedy, who shed some light on what went down during the exchange.
I told the trainer no twice, but finally I said yes.
And so how did he convince you?
He just asked a couple times. He said Tom Brady really wanted it. I was able to take pictures, all that sort of stuff. He said Tom Brady might come over and say hey, thank me. So hopefully I'll get to shake his hand at least.
Meanwhile, the Sour Patch Kid of the NBA, Kyrie Irving, is still refusing to get vaccinated, which means he will ride the bench for the Nets. This was the scene in Brooklyn during the Nets home opener yesterday. A group of anti-vaxxers showed up to terrorize security guards who had nothing to do with this at all. Look at how crazy this is. They're saying they haven't seen a mob like this in Brooklyn since they introduced the Cronut. And the signs were almost as nutty as the people carrying them. Like this guy had a stand with Kyrie. You know you're on the wrong side when white power Santa Claus is backing you. Kyrie Irving famously said he wasn't sure the world was round, and he's been following and liking posts from a conspiracy theorist who claims the vaccine is part of some kind of a scheme to connect black people to a master computer as part of a satanic plan. I don't know, does Satan really need a computer? It seems like he worked without one for a really long time. Speaking of Satan's plans, Facebook is gearing up for another bad week after more than 10,000 pages of internal documents were leaked to the press. The Facebook papers, which is what they're being called, provide an unprecedented view into how executives at the social media giant weigh trade-offs between public safety and their own bottom line. Turns out they weigh them incorrectly. Mark Zuckerberg told Congress last year, he said the company removes 94% of the hate speech it finds, but the researchers discovered Facebook was actually removing less than 5% of hate speech. And you know how they discovered this? They went on Facebook. Yeah. I don't know, are we surprised by this? Finding out what did Facebook know? Let me clear it up for you, what Facebook knows. They know everything. They know your social security number, they know where you live, they know what you're having for lunch, they know the winners of the next 5 Super Bowls. They're basically Spectre, but we can't stop because we have to monitor the weight of our former love interests. We're learning more about who is behind the January 6th attack on the Capitol from an explosive report in Rolling Stone. 2 people who helped organize the rally in D.C. that became an insurrection said they planned the event with several Republican members of Congress. They had dozens of planning meetings with members of Congress and White House staff. Lauren Boebert of Colorado, Louie Gohmert of Texas, Marjorie Taylor Greene of Mordor, and several others were said to be in on these plans to overturn... What a sad lineup that is, by the way. It's the Legion of Dumb. Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona was named, too. Now, this guy, Paul Gosar, I don't know if you remember, when he was running for office, 6 of his siblings, his own brothers and sisters, made an attack ad against him and called him a traitor. Before he was one of the most hated members of Congress, he was the most hated member of his family. He reportedly told the organizers repeatedly they would get a blanket pardon from Trump. And they were all like, well, if there's one thing we know about Donald Trump is he's as good as his word. And Donald Trump Jr. is hard at work making cameo videos. And that's it, really. That's all he does. He has a website, and this is a real item that he just posted for sale. It's a shirt that says, guns don't kill people, Alec Baldwin kills people. What a kind and wonderful person. All proceeds from the sale of the shirt go up his one working nostril. No, they go to his bank account. And the good news is they're made in the USA. The one time these ghouls make something in the USA, it's this. I'm not even sure what to say about that. I mean, it's this. Even from him, this surprises me. I like to imagine Don Jr. at the pearly gates, St. Peter's out front. He has no notes. Usually he's got like a clipboard that he goes through. But this time he just says, quick question. Did you make these shirts and sell them on your website? Oh, okay, hell. Put him in the Chevy Vega to hell. The number one movie in the country this weekend was Dune. Dune made over $40 million at the box office. People went to the movies to see it, even though I watched it for nothing on HBO. But whenever a major motion picture comes out, we unleash it on our in-house movie critic, Yaya, to review it. And here he is now talking about the new movie, Dune.
Action! Hi, it's me, Yaya. I talk about the new movie. Is name you and me, okay? The movie, very good, is in the desert, look like a Star Wars, you know?
This is only the beginning.
The young girl, she's named Xander. She's also on the show, La Foria. She's in the movie also. He's not Tobey Maguire, with the young boy, short guy, English guy. She's also with the new movie, with LeBron James, the basketball, like cartoon. Okay, the young boy, Tomantos Karyomi, something like that. I got, he make the movie with the guy, I don't know, Ryan, something, I got a picture of him, like gay in Italy. This guy, you know, with the beard, his name Isaac Eisner. He's in the Star Wars, and his friend with the robot, the 2 ball, one ball big and one ball up to him, small, go walk.
What is it, buddy?
I love the Star Wars guy. Beep, 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 beep. The guy with the hood. His name Jeffrey Bartman, like a Bartman. And he's a good actor, and he married Vanella B. Cruz. He do the movie No Country for Old Guy. He go look, follow this guy, George Bro. In the movie, superhero, he snap his finger, he say, everybody die. Go watch the movie, it's in theater, in the computer. Go watch it, right?
Remember to watch Jimmy Kimmel Live weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central, only on ABC.